Hello, welcome to the Abundance Manifestors podcast. I am your host, Olivia Ty Martinez, and today we are so lucky to have a very special guest with us. He is the most abundant manifester I know. He's the mastermind and CEO of the 986 Pharmacy franchise and my brother, Dr. Ken Ty.
Thank you, Olivia. Thank you for having me on this podcast. Excited to talk a little bit about mindset today.
Mindset has been a reoccurring theme in your organization recently. You even held a whole retreat on mindset.
And it was a great retreat. A group of entrepreneurs and owners that we had there really showcased, you know, what they're about. And it was fun. I think it really helped everyone to really grow.
Can you give us a few highlights of what happened there?
Yeah. Well, for all you that don't know, I have a pharmacy group that I lead with our franchise, and a lot of them are entrepreneurs, young entrepreneurs that are coming out, mostly pharmacists, but also some that are not, that are just interested in the business of pharmacy. And so I do think mindset, especially the entrepreneur and ownership mindset, is very key for them to become successful. And so at this retreat, I think it was a great opportunity for us to really dive deep into each person's strengths and weaknesses, and then also allow them a platform to show some vulnerability, because the only way to be successful is to be in a position where you can truly look at yourself critically and look at what, you know, you do well, what you don't do well, and then be objective in your approach and really building upon those strengths, or at least, if nothing else, looking and acknowledging the weaknesses that exist.
It's great to be able to transition from the mindset of an employee to the mindset of a pharmacy owner, right?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's not easy because, you know, pharmacists are always trained to make sure everything's perfect, the patient gets exactly what they're prescribed and there's no issues. And to have them be a little more critical of themselves and to take ownership where they're going beyond what's being told of them, and they have to actually think and decide on what is the best path that might allow for greater efficiency, or a path that might allow for them and their team to be better at what they do, is something that is different for them, makes them very uncomfortable. To go from someone who's being told what to do and executing to someone now telling others what to do and helping them to improve and execute, completely different thought process. And you have to learn how to become that type of person. And I definitely feel that it's something that you can learn and grow and really develop.
And this is something that you teach, right? Because you're an adjunct professor at the School of Pharmacy at USC and another school.
I serve as adjunct faculty at quite a few different pharmacy programs in California. I get to do quite a bit of lectures that focus a little bit more on the entrepreneurship aspects of the pharmacy business. And I get to work with a lot of young pharmacists that are graduating or recent grads that have this desire to potentially go into an area of practice that is, let's be frank, not conventional, right? I mean, maybe 30, 40 years ago, every single person that came out of pharmacy school basically were headed towards, you know, entrepreneurship and ownership. Now that is absolutely not the norm. As a matter of fact, it is, you know, something that is unusual. It's pretty unique because I get to see who might have some interest in going out there and charting a slightly different path and being their own boss, while at the same time serving as clinicians in a community setting. Very interesting mix. One where you're technically training to be told what to do. Another where you're actually in a position where you're directing and telling people what they need to do so they can become successful and be in a better position to care for their patients.
That's what sets 986 Pharmacies apart from, say, working at CVS, Long's, Duane Reade, if they're in the East Coast, or Walgreens, right? It's different. And because they're independent pharmacies and you're an independent pharmacy franchise, they have that opportunity, right, to serve the community in a completely different way. How many pharmacies are we looking at right now in this moment?
We have roughly about 20 plus pharmacies, and I think there's probably about 6 or 8 scheduled to open this first quarter of this year. So I'd say when it's all said and done by March, maybe about 26, 27 different locations in 3 different states, California, Nevada, and Texas. Different types of pharmacies, you know, it's not just the typical retail that you see. We also have some that are long-term care, which basically services our seniors, senior living facilities and nursing homes. We have some that specialize in specialty, which care for patients in special populations, like if you have hemophilia or you have HIV and whatnot. Definitely, we've got the traditional pharmacies that you see, similar to what you might see at a corner drugstore, like a chain that you mentioned. Also, infusion, for example, is another pharmacy operation that we have under the 986 umbrella. And basically, they make IVs, you know, to provide for patients that have that need. Very interesting aspect of what we do. I don't want to really go into the weeds of it, but it's exciting. You know, I think it's more than definitely what most people perceive of in the healthcare industry, or more specifically in pharmacy. You have all these different avenues that you can partake in, or different areas that you can really delve into, you know, in addition to what you might you know, traditionally think of as a pharmacy.
That's so cool. I love that. It's not every day that you get to talk to someone who is in charge of nearly 30 pharmacies. So this is so awesome. I love talking about this because this is not typical of somebody who has our family background, right? I really wanted to dig into our origin story a little bit more in this episode because I think a lot of people look at us, you and me and our sister, in a way where it's like, oh, they must have come from wealth. They must have come from money. They probably had everything growing up. But that's obviously completely untrue. How did it all start?
You use the word wealth, but I think wealth has traditionally been tied to this concept of money. And I don't believe so. I mean, I do think we come from wealth, but maybe not in the traditional means of finances and money that most people associate wealth with. I think we came from a wealth of a very strong family ethic, work ethic. We did come to this country as refugees with nothing but hopes and dreams, and of course an empty suitcase and a pair of sandals. That's something that I think, you know, most people might associate with, wow, you know, that was rough to come to this country as a refugee. We lived in our aunt's house, pretty much 20 of us camped out in the living room. I think that was a pretty decent long period of time that we had done that, and our parents and family were sewing clothes, right? Like most other immigrants, at least at that time period, escaping from, you know, the war from Vietnam at the time. So it was not easy, but I do think it taught us something that was very valuable life lesson, and that is that nothing in life is given to you. You can't take anything for granted. So what we did get was a life lesson that you need to work hard, you need to have drive, you need to go out there and truly appreciate and be grateful for what you do have. And that is the drive, the enthusiasm for life, and the passion for the opportunities and dreams that you can develop in a country like this. And I think that is kind of where we started from. And quite honestly, I would even take it further. I mean, even through school education and whatnot, being, you know, probably one of the first in my family to go to college and graduate and then go to grad school and graduate with a doctor's degree, it was exciting. I mean, it was something different. And ultimately, it propelled me to do what I'm doing now, which is to essentially venture into the world of not just a profession that I'm very proud of in pharmacy, but essentially being a part of the 986 franchise, which is, you know, I'm the founder and obviously the CEO of for the past seven, you know, and doing this for the past 17 years, essentially. So I do truly am grateful and appreciative of everything that's happened up to this point. But I completely agree with the context that we definitely didn't come on a silver platter. I had to work very hard with the team that I currently have and everything that we encompass and really value, you know, as an organization, which we actually just talked about at the retreat since you mentioned it earlier, which is what is truly our core value, and that is improving lives. And I say that because the ultimate desire to open a pharmacy and ultimately turn that into a pharmacy franchise was the desire to improve not just my personal life, but that of my family, of the friends, uncles, aunts that might not have had any type of degree and had to go into entry-level jobs. Now I have a platform to provide them that job. Of a company of about 400 plus employees now, I'd say a good percentage of them are actually uncles, aunts. At one point, my family included, that had worked within our company and are now either, you know, integral parts of that infrastructure, or now partners in multiple operations that we've opened in the past 17 years.
I just love it because I don't think it's a common thing for companies to have a company party that also doubles as like a family reunion. It's so fun and so unique. And I really wanted to highlight that in the episode with you, because I'm like, wow, I don't think I've ever heard of that. It's like the entire family is there, plus friends, families, coworkers, and every Christmas. And now we're doing, you know, company parties like mid-year as well. And it's just always so fun. I don't think we ever lost that refugee gratitude that we've had from the very beginning of, I mean, I never lived at Kaima's house, right? But Kaima's house had how many people living there?
I think about 20 plus one of us. I mean, definitely there was about 3 bedrooms, but of course that was not enough for about 20 plus individuals, including our sister and myself. You were not born yet. And so that was pretty amazing. I mean, to camp out almost like, you know, on like sleeping bags every day in the living room, you know, next to the sewing machines where we were trying to make a living. And then on the weekends, going to flea markets and swap meets to sell clothes and whatnot. That's all I remember. Some of my first memories, actually, which is crazy because, you know, you have kids that go on weekends to play dates. And here we are working, getting up at 5, 6 o'clock in the morning to go and set up tents and whatnot to sell in the heat and the sun. And sometimes like right now in the cold and in the rain, that teaches you a lot of value and really shows you how far along we've come. Always keep me very rooted to the importance of being strong and to have resilience. Going back to the whole topic of this talk, the right mindset, stay positive and to always share that positivity with others. It's exciting. I mean, I'm not gonna lie. I think it's probably the best feeling you can have when you're able to say that you're in a position to help others, whether they're family or friends, or now family friends, whatever you want to call them, that are in positions very similar, if not, you know, worse than where you were at once upon a time, and to be able to help them, because I think that ultimately is the greatest feeling you can get.
It's amazing. I love all the different stories that we've had growing up too. And I remember this story that you told to me, and you're saying that this is something that you only recently started sharing, which I'm so surprised by, because it's just such a great story about how you motivated yourself to get out of this kind of place that you were in. And we come from, you know, refugee swap meet, 50 refugees living in a house. Eventually it became more and more people, right? As more families started coming. And I don't even remember any point in my childhood where a family member didn't live with us, you know, straight from Vietnam. So it's just such a great story. And it's a story about a watch.
Yeah, and I think it's interesting that you bring that up, because I really never shared the story, because it was more something that I did for myself. You said it right. It was a way to encourage myself, to keep me going, to show me that there's hope and there's opportunity, and that you never need to yield to maybe some of the hands that you're being dealt with in life, which don't always are the best hands. 17 years ago, essentially, is when I first started the pharmacy. And at the time, I'll be very frank here, family situation was not great. We were going through a lot, both financially and personally. It was tough times. And I was working in a very promising job with a corporation and was moving up. And, you know, I had to make a decision, because if I would continue to do that, I knew that I would live in what we would call the default feature, right? You make a job, very difficult to make your ends meet every month while supporting the family. At the time, you were just a kid. So, you know, I don't even know if you kind of truly grasp the severity or gravity of the situation that we're in on a financial perspective, but it was not easy. And so I had to make a conscious decision to go out there and venture off and to be an entrepreneur, to have the right mindset to go out there and build something, because that's the only way to get us out of the situation that we're in, being all of a sudden thrusted into the limelight as a breadwinner, so to speak, for the family. So I took a trip. I was like, hey, you know what? I need to go and do this, because it could be years before I can take another trip. And God knows if this does not work out, what's going to happen? You know, I'll be probably forever in debt, and it wouldn't be a good situation. Let me just put it that way. So upon traveling, and I went to Hong Kong, I ventured into this store, and they had Rolex there. And you know, for those that don't know, our family comes from a long line of watch repairmen, from my grandfather to uncles and whatnot. And so I always had a fascination for watches. And so I saw that watch, and at the time it was about $5,000, which, to be very honest with you, 17 years ago, not having any money, that was a lot of money. basically what I said was that, hey, you know, I got a credit card here and I need to look at life from the standpoint of there's no return. You have to succeed, Ken. You're gonna make this work, and and I bought the watch on the spot on the credit card, knowing that I'm gonna have to pay with interest on that repayment for years, because that's probably the situation I was in at the time, that I was gonna do it. And not only that, I'm gonna wear it proudly. I'm gonna have it on my wrist every day to remind me that I'm gonna be able to afford this watch one day and be in a position to walk into any store that I want and buy it whenever I want without even thinking twice. That's a promise I made to myself, even though it sounded really ridiculous and stupid at the time, because most people would say, hey, if you're in that situation, you shouldn't have done that. But that was my motivation, to make sure that I'm going to be able to afford that one day, and to make sure every day I'm reminded of the fact that I'm going to work my butt off to ensure that there's no room for failure. And so I wore that watch. I mean, that was a crazy watch that I wore, like, into the ocean, into the swimming pool, when I took a shower, when I was carrying boxes, helping with the construction of the pharmacies. I wore it everywhere. I beat the crap out of that watch. And it's crazy how that story resurfaced recently, because I'm still a very avid watch collector for those that know me. And they're asking me, hey, why are you so into watches and everything? And this story sort of resurfaced, and I finally felt I was in a position to tell it, because it would have been very embarrassing to tell this story and then basically be broke and bankrupt, right? In retrospect now, I do feel that I was able to check the boxes that I initially had, sought to check at the time I purchased this watch. And now I just feel that it's still a constant reminder for me, that if you work hard, anything is possible. And that when you give yourself no chance for failure, then you will not fail. As a matter of fact, you will succeed. And I think that goes back to the mindset thought that we or topic that we have today. And that is that you got to have take ownership of life and
I
not
love
give
how there's
yourself
just
any
these
excuses
little
with whatever
nuggets.
hands you're dealt, and that you're going to go for it and you're going to make it happen, not just for yourself, but for the ones that you love, the family members, and now, quite honestly, the patients that I care for.
Throughout our lives, and even Ami, your wife, my sister-in-law, has told a story before that I remember too. And you're both just so hardworking and so motivated. And I remember her saying, I think we were at a restaurant and she was looking at a menu. She was saying that, you know, I grew up with nothing too. And she's Korean American. Oh no, she's not Korean American. She's from Korea. And when she came, she had nothing as well, right? And so she told me that her motivation when she looked at a menu was for her to look at a menu and not need to worry about how much the food costs. And she wanted to work so hard to the point where she can just eat whatever she wanted from a restaurant. And little seeds like this, I think, were so important for me to hear from you guys and from our family, knowing that mindset was just such a huge part of becoming successful. Wanted to kind of dive into where 986 Pharmacy franchise is headed. What are the plans that you have?
First and foremost, when you said the small little things, I think, believe it or not, we all have those. Hey, I want to be in a position where I don't have to always, as simple as, look at how much money I have in my pocket to order food, things like that, right? I think those sound so basic, and it's almost sad to think that's an issue that we have, but that's the reality of life. These are all motivators for us to improve and to continue to have a very positive mindset about, what we can do as long as we apply ourselves. How does that tie to 986 in our future? Well, I firmly believe, and this is actually something that I told my team last year, and I told them that I'm very grateful. I'm very grateful for the fact that I am where I am today, where I don't have to worry about ordering something from a menu, or I don't have to even worry about something that I want. I can, for the most part, get what most of the things I'd want in life, and I'm not that complicated. But what else can I do for everyone else, right? So the next 5, 10 years, whatever years I have left to go out to continue to build this vision that we have for 986, is to really build upon the visions of the team members that we have. I literally ask all of them, what do you want? How can I make that happen for you in the next 5 to 10 years of my life? Because if I can make it happen for them, I'm making it happen for myself and for the vision that we had created for 986, which is to create a national platform that allows entrepreneurs, especially in the medical field, professional field, or any field for that matter, to go out there and to be able to build their own business and to be successful and to have a platform where they, like myself, can help others, you know, whether immediate or not so immediate, or family and friends or whatnot, to also improve their lives while we improve the lives of the patients that we serve. I'm really hoping, and I threw it out there during our Christmas party. Thank you for bringing that up. I think it was a great party where we actually, like you said, everybody's like family there, right? And so I threw out there 100. You know, I really want us to hit 100 stores. Now, even though to me, it's not about the quantity, it's more about quality. But given the team that we have, given the strength of the group that we currently work with, that should not be hard. I do feel very strongly that we're on the cusp of something fantastic, you know, of something that I never thought in my lifetime we could accomplish. And why not share that vision and that dream with my team, who has worked their butts off to help us get where we are right now as a company? I know it's very vague and very high level, but the reality is that we all want to get somewhere. And I think 986, myself, we're just trying to create a platform for that to happen. And if I don't get to 100 stores or we get to 1,000 stores, to me it's irrelevant. But I want to throw something out there that gets them excited, gets them thinking about the fact that if we all put our heads together, nothing's unachievable for us.
So, if you're at 30, or you're going to be at 30 soon, you're basically trying to triple your impact.
Yeah, I'd say quadruple my impact, right? Potentially, going from 30 to 70 more. I don't say that lightly. I really do feel very strongly that we have the team, the infrastructure, and the right mindset and the people that's required to make, you know, an endeavor like that happen. And you know, maybe in the context of the corporate world, that's nothing. For a small business owner like myself, someone who's a refugee to this country, that's beyond the American dream. To give you some context, most average pharmacists or pharmacy owners in the nation own no more than 1.75 store, which means that essentially they own one or two stores. For me to even sit here and talk to you and tell you that we have 28 right now, going on 100, that's a huge, amazing accomplishment or a pipe dream for me and for my team, absolutely. So I'm excited. I think that whenever we put it out there, like I did when I put my watch out there, I'm gonna work my butt off until I deserve this watch, until I actually feel I can afford this watch, is exactly what I'm doing now. And it's always been putting that forward. It's no fun to put something forward that you know it's doable, right? You gotta put something out there that you know is probably a reach or something that will require you to go above and beyond at least what you think you're capable of, right? That's what makes life exciting. One of the mantras that I throw out in life is that you're gonna be successful when you're able to be comfortable being uncomfortable. Being uncomfortable is doing things you never thought was possible, or being in positions where you had to do things that you didn't think you can do. And that's exactly the mindset that I have and the mindset I instill within my team, mindset I try to teach my kids. And at the end of the day, I think it does go a long way, because I think sometimes we rest too much on our laurels. Change is made in the world when you're willing to go and do things that you're not accustomed to doing.
So true. I see it in all three of the girls. All three of the girls are just so unique and special in their own way. And I think a huge part of it is you and Ami teaching them about mindset, the abundance mindset. Like they can do anything, they can do whatever they want in life as long as they work hard and they work towards that goal. So, what a great way to end this podcast episode. Thank you so much, Gaw, for being my first guest.
I know, I feel so honored to be your first guest. And you know, I've been on a few other podcasts, and I do feel that this is just very special, because number one, you're my sister, and number two, I'm the first guest. Who knew, right? That I could be on this awesome podcast and be a guest of my own beloved sister. So thank you very much for having me. I hope that we're able to really motivate and inspire some of your audiences to develop the mindset of always trying something different, being brave, not backing down, and to accept this thought process that life, if you don't think you're gonna fail, you won't fail. And you know, you just have to keep on chucking along, and things will happen. You know, good things and great things will happen.
Yay, thank you
Thank you very
again.
much, Olivia.
make sure you all follow at 986 Pharmacy. I believe they're on all the different platforms, so Instagram, Facebook, anywhere there's internet, there's 986 Pharmacy, and follow all of them because you don't want to miss out on the incredible growth happening with them this year. And we've got to all keep my brother accountable now because he said 100 pharmacies.
That's right.
So we've got to keep you accountable for that. It's going to be so epic.
It will be. And I think that the more important thing is not even the 100, is the fact that there's going to be so many lives that will be impacted and improved. If this does come to, when it comes to fruition. So I'm excited about that. I can't wait. I just hope that, you know, in whichever areas your audiences decide to pursue, that stories like this will continue to motivate them.
Love it. Quadruple your impact.
That's right.
That's your 2023 right here. I don't know if you're planning to do it all in 1 year, but if you do, wow. It's even crazier. I love hearing all of your stories. Our conversations are always the best. Thank you again for just inspiring everybody around us to manifest abundance in every single way, every aspect of their lives. And thank you all so much for liking and subscribing to our Abundance Manifestors podcast. I'll see you all next Monday.
Bye, everybody.